I'm assuming that the lady or ladies listening to this tape have already been saved. They have trusted Christ as their Savior. They know what it means to be born again. If you've not, this lesson is going to be of no use to you because it's contingent upon the fact that the wife knows Jesus Christ in a personal way. Once she does, the Bible then makes some promises to her about how the husband can be won to Christ. So if there's some ladies listening to this tape who have never been saved, the first thing you need to do is realize that God is not willing that any should perish, but wants us all to come to repentance and trust His Son, Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior. So the most important thing is that you first be a Christian, and not by joining a church or by being baptized or taking a catechism class or by benefit of marriage or birth, but by personally, at one time in your life, realizing your sins were taking you the wrong way, and that the only one that could separate you from your sins was not the church or another good person, but only the Lord Jesus Christ and His love and mercy and grace. And at that time, you've turned your heart towards the Lord and cried out and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And God forgave your sin and gave you the Holy Spirit on the inside to bear witness of the fact that you now have eternal life. Assuming that's the case, the Bible makes some promises to the wife who is now saved and desires to see her husband saved. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the first five verses read as follows. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is, in the sight of God, of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. And verse 5 uses this statement, the women who also trusted in God. That's why I started this tape with the statement that it's necessary, first of all, that the wife be a Christian. Assuming that's the case, this short five-verse passage of Scripture gives at least three steps of that a wife can take in order to see her husband saved. Now, let me say at the outset that I have been on the receiving end of 1 Peter chapter 3, those first five verses, as my wife was saved before I was. We were both members of a Methodist church at the time. I was even a trustee. We were in charge of the young couples group and had responsibilities on Sunday morning in the babysitting in a nursery, and we were active in a church, but we did not know Jesus Christ as our Savior. My wife listened to a radio program, and the guy announced that the next day he was going to tell folks how to become a Christian. And my wife had been a church member ever since she was raised in a Lutheran church, and she thought that she was a Christian, but there was some aching in her heart that just didn't seem to be able to be fulfilled, and so she turned on the radio program the next day and made a special point to sit down and listen. And the man went through the plan of salvation about how she could get saved and become a Christian, Bible style. And so she received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And without even knowing that 1 Peter chapter 3 was in the Bible, she exercised the three characteristics it talks about here. And it took me about another 2 or 3 months from her salvation before the Holy Spirit wore me down to the point where I wanted to get saved. I didn't get saved to get my wife off my back. I didn't get saved to shut her up. I didn't say a prayer just to pawn her off. I really wanted to get saved because of the change I've seen in her life. And ladies, that's the first thing that your husband needs to see, is a change. This whole passage of Scripture talks about the fact that you're going to be a different woman than you were before. I believe the Bible term would be to come more and more of a lady each day. First of all, you'll notice in verse 1 that they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And in verse 2 says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now, there's some folks running around the countryside today that would like to have us believe every time the Bible uses the word conversation, it means lifestyle. I don't believe that. I believe in this particular case, when the Bible talks about conversation, it means exactly that. I believe God's capable of saying what he means and meaning what he says. So the word is conversation. For purposes of our outline today, I'd like to have you write down speech. The first thing that a husband needs to see in a born-again wife is not that she's going to a new church, or that all of a sudden she's carrying a Bible, or that all of a sudden she wants to go to a Billy Graham film, or to watch a Christian TV or listen to Christian radio. The first thing a husband ought to see in his wife is that she talks different than she used to talk. I can remember Alice sitting me down when I came home from work. I believe it was the day or shortly thereafter that she got saved, within the first 3 days. And she announced to me that she'd become a Christian, that she had trusted Christ as her Savior. And, of course, all this was strange to me. I didn't really know what she was talking about. But I was watching her across the room, and it was important enough for her to set me down and get the kids out of the room so she could talk to me without disturbance. So I knew it was important to her. And I could tell due to the emotion in her voice, although she wasn't crying, but that it was a very, very important subject to her. And so I just tried to pass it off by saying, "Well, honey, I hope you don't plan on going to some South Sea island as a missionary." I didn't really understand what she was talking about. But I did know right away she was talking different. All of a sudden, around our house, the Bible was left open. Tracts were laid out. I didn't oppose this kind of thing. I didn't really object to it, but I didn't pick it up much and read it either. But I noticed she did. And I noticed her speech was different. Words that we use that are slang words that come too close to the world style of talk and further away from the Bible style of talk, she changed. All of a sudden, the slang words that she had used whenever the souffle wouldn't turn out right or whenever the kids' diapers were dirty or whatever, all of a sudden that changed. Her speech changed. And I noticed right away that she had a different way of talking. Not that her whole language was different. We could still converse and talk, and we still were able to be clearly understood. But I noticed as we drove down the street, and some of the terms that a lost man uses, even around his wife, is not too flattering to a lady's ears. And I noticed that she would not repeat it, and she would not laugh when it was funny. Now, she didn't reject me. She didn't not listen to my joke, so to speak, or my offhand comments, or even my own slang words, or even where I swore. She heard what I said, but she didn't repeat it. She didn't let it affect her speech. If we were having a slight little argument, she didn't throw it back in my face. Quickly, she seemed to be able to get a bridle on her tongue. Now, the Bible says the tongue can no man tame, but it can get a control of it, better control than what most of us have now. And she got control of her tongue to the point where her speech was very flattering, and all of a sudden, instead of saying negative things about her husband, she was very, very positive. She was very flattering in the things she had to say. All of a sudden, she became a real sugar mouth. All of a sudden, I was the greatest guy alive. All of a sudden, her speech gave me the position in the home that I'd always wanted. It's a strange thing when a wife really cleans up her speech. Now, I'm not assuming that I'm talking to a bunch of foul-mouthed ladies that might be listening to this tape. But what I am assuming is that there are some mannerisms in your speech, there are some things that are ungodly, that are not pleasing to the Lord, that your husband knows about, and those things ought to be changed. Alice changed the TV program she watched, the radio program she listened to. Everything about the speech was different. The different music came on the Christian radio station that she found on the dial. I didn't even know there was a Christian radio station. And she found one. And I found that her speech was very, very different. Then the other thing that it mentions here, in the fourth verse, it talks about a meek and quiet spirit. Not only was her speech different, but your husband, ladies, needs to see a different spirit. Whatever it is that makes you mad and can get your goat in a hurry, you need to work on quick. Because I can remember at least three things that I did to Alice on purpose to find out if her speech was really sincere. And that was to test her spirit. I would come home and I would find our oldest boy at the time with his diapers wet. And Alice was very sensitive about the care that she gave our children. She's a good mother, always has been. But I would come home and I would see the little boy running around with wet pants. I'd say, for crying out loud, Alice, how long has he been running around with wet pants? Now, I assumed that she'd probably changed his pants within the last half hour or less. But nevertheless, I was digging her. I was doing it on purpose. She was advertising herself as a Christian, although she wasn't bragging about it. She did make a special point to tell me that she was. And her speech had changed, and so I wanted to find out if she's really different. And so I would make comments about the baby's diapers. Instead of giving me any static, like, hey, it'd be sure help around here if you change the diapers once in a while, she picked the baby up, took him into the bassinet, a changing table, and changed his diapers, put new diapers on him, brought him back, says, there, I hope that's better. I'm sorry that they got that wet. I looked at her, I couldn't believe it. I about dropped my glasses off the end of my nose. Because most of the time, while she's busy getting supper and the baby's wet, he just had to wait. And she interrupted what she was doing in order to take care of the request that her husband had. Then I would come home, and I seem to remember that we had a ham steak that night. It was a slice of ham off a bone that was then fried and brought up to temperature nice and warm and put on my plate. And I made some comment about crying out loud, this isn't even done. Now, Alice is very sensitive about her cooking. She's a very good cook. I mean, she works hard at it. But she would get up out of her seat. She would come over and she would pick my plate up with a smile on her face and say, Lou, would you like to have me put it back in a frying pan? And she actually had a fork in that thing and had the frying pan on the stove, as I remember, was going to flop that thing off my plate back into the frying pan to warm that kid up right in the middle of a supper meal. When finally my conscience got to me about how much I was leaning on her about this thing, I said, nah, honey, I says, cold ham's good too. Bring it here. It really wasn't cold. It really wasn't bad. I was just testing her spirit. Ladies, if you're saved and really born again and your husband sees a difference in you because of your speech, he's going to test your spirit. He's going to find out if you're real. He may ask you to do things and go places that he knows you don't like just to see what your spirit is. And if your spirit is one of rebellion, as if your spirit is one of, well, I'm saved now and I belong to Jesus, and you here, you hairy-chested fella, you can just go yell up a rope. He's going to say, that's the Christian spirit, huh? That's the spirit that Jesus Christ gave you, honey? He's not going to believe it. You're going to need to exercise a meek and quiet spirit. I would come home at another time. I remember that she had the children, I think we had two boys at the time, all dressed and ready to go someplace, because I remember she had a hat on back in those days that had a veil that came down over your face, kind of like a little net. And she had that on, and she had her a suit dress on, and all ready to go. Boy, she looked good. And I thought I noticed, I'm not even sure that I did now, but I thought I noticed her slip was showing a little bit, so I called attention to it. And right in front of the boys, of course, they were too young to understand. I says, Alice, we're crying out loud. Don't you even know how to dress yourself? I mean, look at this. You get all dolled up. You got your hair fixed. You got the pretty little hat on. You got your earrings on. You got your makeup on. And then your slip is showing. Come on, honey. Don't you look in the mirror before you walk out of the bedroom, or comments to that effect? Now, normally, that would have resulted in me needing to duck. Some airborne object was going to come flying my way. But she smiled, and she let go of the boy's hand and told him to sit down right there. And she says, I'll go to the bathroom and fix that. And she walked in the bathroom, and she was there about 30 seconds. So I think what she was doing is gritting her teeth and probably blowing off steam or whatever. I don't know. I imagine she turned all kinds of shades of red and, for all I know, pounded on the vanity a little bit. But she came back out with a big smile on her face, and her slip was all fixed. And she twirled around for me and says, there, is that better? Oh, it killed me. I couldn't handle it. I thought, crying out loud, I can make fun of this woman's cooking. I can make her fun of her care of the kids. I can make fun of how she looks, and she is sensitive in all three of those areas. And where she's most sensitive is right where I went to. I didn't talk to her about her shopping. I didn't talk to her about her gardening. I didn't talk to her about the cleaning she did, because she was, I think, more sensitive in the three areas of cooking, her care for the kids, and her own appearance. And I blasted all three of those to find out if she really had a changed spirit. And when I saw that she had a change spirit, I knew that whatever the change was that had come over my wife, it was good. From that point on, though I wasn't sold yet on the idea of being saved, I didn't really even understand the plan of salvation yet. But I did understand that there was something legitimately that was changed about my wife. From that on, I was wanting to know more about what she had, not trying to fight it. And the whole difference was the spirit that she had has, I noticed, a change in her speech.